Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 22, just this one verse. Notice this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Go, if you will, over to chapter 28, Proverbs 28, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. Proverbs 28, 19 and 20. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that the Bible contains when it comes to helping us with this area of finances. And Lord, as we continue this series, Lord, we want to base what we do, what we believe, on the Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we study it out, and then please, with the assistance of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as he directs each of us in this area, I pray, Lord, that we would, Lord, just please you in this area of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I want to talk about this morning, we're going to speak on the subject of income. And what we did was start a week ago Wednesday, and then with what is stewardship, and then all last Sunday, three sermons on getting the right mindset when it comes to finances. I told you that this week we were going to kind of teach on nuts and bolts and a lot more practical application of those Bible principles. But when we're talking about finances, each and every one of us have to deal with basically two components which determine your financial stability or your financial instability. And those are income and output, income and output. So I'm going to talk about income this morning. We'll talk about output tonight. And then this morning for Sunday school, many of you weren't in here, but I would encourage you to get on our YouTube channel. We taught on the tithe and the offerings. And I'll mention a little bit more about that tonight, because when we're talking about output, of course, that's first on the list. And it will get God's blessing on your life. It will remove God's curse from your life. It will allow God to prevent the devourer being loosed into your life. And it will be a blessing to you and help you financially so much. So we will mention that a little bit tonight, but we preached an entire mess, taught an entire lesson on it during our Sunday school hour that I think would be profitable for you to listen to. So there's two main components which determine your financial stability or define your, and point out your financial instability. And that's income and output. Now, I asked my wife to get our Monopoly game, and so that I could have some money this morning, you know. And she said that I guess the kids had had it out so many times, they'd lost so much, she just threw it away. So I had to go outside my budget, Brother Jeff, and drive to Walmart and purchase a Monopoly game. But inside that Monopoly, it ended up being a pretty good purchase, because look what I found in there, a whole stack. I'm telling you, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I'm so happy I'll be able to pay our staff now for the next several weeks. So, no, you're not going to get a check from the church. You're going to get cash. I got you covered here. So, so maybe this will help us, a little bit of an illustration so that you'll understand input. And some of this is going to, preacher, this is so basic. It may be for you, but it's not to some folks. And so, and by the way, don't we a lot of times get in trouble because we forget the basics? We may know the basics, but if you're not doing the basics, a lot of times that's where we fall short. And so God blesses us, and the blessings of the Lord are a wonderful thing. And I want you to remember everything. We talk about income. We talk about money coming into your life and into your family, or financial blessing coming into your life, into your family. What we're talking about is that coming from the hand of the Lord. And always remember that. If you have enjoyed increase, financial increase of any kind this week, let's not forget that ultimately that came from God. And you say, well, no, I work for it. Well, who's given you the health to be able to work? Who's given you the strength? I could take you to a lot of homes and show you some people that your age that doesn't have what you have health-wise. You ought to be thankful for it. Don't be presumptuous. be careful. You want to start taking credit for what you're doing. You can find out. God can remind you real quick who's in control. And so all of us, probably this week, everybody in here, probably this week, there was some increase, financial increase came into your life. It may be biweekly. A lot of people get paid every other week. Some of you, you know, on Social Security, it's a monthly thing, and that's where the majority of your increase comes in. So you'll have to apply these lessons to your particular situation. But when any time God allows us to have a source of income, we want to be thankful ultimately to Him. And it is part of the blessings of God. And so I'm going to illustrate it this way. Here's where we're going to keep our finances, okay? This is I want you to kind of view your finances as going into some type of a treasure box, okay? And as God brings income into your life, this is where we're going to put it. And then when we talk about output tonight, obviously, in order to pay our bills and to live, we're going to have to reach in here and take some out. But finances, the proper handling of finances is making sure that you have what you need coming in and then being very careful and thoughtful and biblical in how you take it back out. And it seems like an oversimplification, but I'm hoping this little illustration will cause you to kind of think, because God has allowed all of us probably to have some increase this week or this month. You're going to have some increase come in. What are you going to do with it when you get it? And always recognize where it comes from God. Remember stewardship. Everything belongs to Him. I just want to keep saying that. It takes so much pressure off of you when you realize that. Everything comes from Him. I recognize everything that comes into the Jerry and Cheryl Ross's household is coming from the Lord. And by the way, it all belongs to Him. And there's some things He's asked me to do with it that I want to do with it, because as I am obedient to the biblical principles of how I handle it, the more He trusts me with it, and therefore He does open the windows of heaven, He does increase, He does make sure that He keeps the devourer away from our household. That's a blessing, by the way. And so we want to do things right. Now, God does not just tell us to sit home and open our box and look up at heaven and say, hey, you know, okay, how do we generate income? Well, if you were here last Sunday morning, I kind of tiptoed around a little bit and really didn't say it as plain as I wish I had, but the number one way of generating income, according to the Bible, is for us to work. That's the primary source of our income. Okay, income should be generated honestly. Come on, folks, fairly. Any income that is generated sinfully through lies, deceit, or unfair or harmful trade, or taking advantage of other people, you know what? That will carry with it a curse of God. And you can sit there and put it in here, but I'll talk about this coming Wednesday night. A lot of times, folks, because of unwise things that we've done, we've poked holes in the bottom of this. And we're throwing it in there, and then we look in, and well, where did it go? Well, you know what? God can take away that. He can put a curse on that. He can make sure that that evaporates faster than you can put it in there. So I want to, when I generate income, I want to do it fairly. I don't want to take advantage of people. I don't want to cheat people. Now, listen, I know I hit this last Sunday, but if you're not working and you're living off the money that other people have worked for, it's not the government's money. Where does the government get their money? They get it from hardworking people. And so if you're taking from people who are working and you're unwilling to work, that you're getting gain through dishonesty. You're getting an unfair gain. And it's going to have a curse come with it. It's going to have a curse come on it, okay? I'm not talking about, by the way, our retired people who has paid so much into Social Security, by the way. Do the math. They'll never live long enough to get back what they've already paid in. I'm not, hey, retired people, I was talking about set the alarm clock last Sunday. Get up, set alarm clock. I'm not talking to you retired people. You sleep as late as you want to, all right? I mean, they've carried this country for the last 50, 60 years of their life. And you know what? They've paid in the thing more things than they'll ever get back. And so I all of this, when you hear the preacher do that, I'm not after you that have put your time in and you're retired. And I like when Brother Don tells the young guys, keep working hard, keep working hard. I need you to put that money in Social Security. Keep working hard, you know. That's all right. He did that for a lot of years for the generation before him. But labor, folks, think about this. It ought to be honest labor. Make sure that your income is generated biblically. Not by swindling people, cheating people, conning people, taking advantage of people. Don't do that, because all of that. Have you figured out that, you know, everything comes around? What you sow in life, you are going to reap in life, and you're never going to get ahead doing that, not in the long run. So how do we generate income? Through the sweat of our brow. And when I say that, not all employment and all jobs are necessarily physical. Some of you work a job where you're in behind a desk, and it's more mental and that than it is physical work. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm going to tell you, I've done both, and I think I'd rather do the physical work than I would the mental work. If you don't think that's work, then just go get a desk job, a high-level stress desk job. Do that. There's a reason they're exhausted at the end of the day. You think, well, I did all this. You know what? Honestly, it's better for you to work physically hard than it is to do the mental thing. I think it hurts your health. Either it hurts your health more with the stress of the mental job sometimes. So either way, that's what I'm talking about. Is just go to work. Go to work. As long as it's an honest living, I don't care. But folks, think about this. When we talk about our income being directly tied to labor, then we ought to consider three things: the quantity of our labor, the quality of our labor, and the value of our labor. Now, I know this is a little teachy, but I want you young men to listen to me, because I'm going to help you as you grow up and get a job and think about this. Okay, so preacher, I don't seem like I have enough income coming in. Okay, well, let's talk about your work. Preacher, I do have a job. You know, sometimes I'll get a call from a Bible college student. Preacher, I'm a little bit behind on my bill. Well, do you have a job? Yeah, I've got a job working here. And you know what I say? How many hours are you working? Let's talk about quantity, the quantity of work. Okay, if you're working a part-time job, you know, 25 hours compared to the 40 hours or 50 hours a week, the quantity of the work is going to affect the amount of income that you have. And you know what, men? You know what? Well, I work a part-time job. Well, what are you doing working a part-time job? Get a full-time job. Okay? Because, you know what, it's going to be, it's going to affect how many hours you're willing to put in. There'll be a vast difference in your income if you work 25 hours a week as opposed to 50 hours a week. You know? And so, you know, we've already taught on the importance of the solid work ethic, but if you're unwilling to work, or you just want to play around at it, or you just want to put in 20 hours a week, you know, you were given 168 hours a week, and you're going to work 20? That leaves you 148 hours of your week. What are you doing? Come on, work. Put the time in. A lot of times you're falling short on income because you're not put, well, preacher, I work 40 hours, and I don't, well, then work 50. They're wearing 60. Do whatever you have to do, but you've got to pay the bills. Okay, because if there's not enough money going in, we're going to talk about tonight how the money's taken out. If you're taking out more than you're putting in, you're going to get in trouble real quick. So work hard. Young men, don't be afraid of work. Don't be afraid of work. And the Bible says, all the way back in creation, when God created 7-day week, he said, 6 days shalt thou work. 6 days shalt thou work. A lot of you work a job where you're only working at your job 5 hours. Sometimes now they're messing around with the hours and getting people to only work 3 or work 4. I don't care. You know what? Then what are you going to do the other days? What are you supposed to do the other days? You're supposed to work.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You're supposed to work.
Yes, sir.
6 days a week. That's what the Bible, I didn't make this up. God looked down at man and said, I'm going to keep you busy. Work 6 days a week. You take the rest on this. On the seventh day, that's what God said as a pattern in the book of Genesis. You know why? Because he knows sinful man with a bunch of idle time is going to get ourselves in trouble. Okay, so, you know, don't be afraid of work. Don't run from work. Well, if I only have to work at my job, you know, 4 days a week, well, maybe, and you want me to work 6, preacher, well, first of all, your wife will find you a whole day's worth right there, man. She'll come up. You just ask her, honey, I don't know what to do with the other 2 days I have. There's something called a honey-do list she will come up with. You will be gainfully employed, all right, at your house. And that's okay. We ought to do some work around our place. Well, wait a minute. What about this? Why not working for the Lord? Why don't you put in some time working for the Lord? You know, why don't we put a little bit more time knocking on door? Why don't we get on a bus route? Why don't we invest in discipleship of the young people that's in your Sunday school class? I mean, folks, come on. Just sitting around the house watching TV is killing the American Christian. Too much idle time, too much lazy time, too much doing nothing time. Work. Work. Say, preacher, you did this last week. I know. I'm trying to get you something in here. All right? I'm trying to get you something in here, okay? I get paid from the church every week. You know what? There it is. It just went in there. Okay? I've got something going in there, okay? And so quantity of work. How about the quality of your work? You may be working a lot of hours, but the quality of your work has not allowed you to be as productive or as rewarded as you should be. You know, you can put in 40 hours a week. Think about this. And the quality of your work is not very good. What do you mean, preacher? You may be at work, but do you work hard when you're at work? You're taking too many breaks. Is your work sloppy? How many times do you have to go redo something you should have done right the first time? Your work may be of such poor quality, it's costing others around you time, where your boss is always having to come in and finish, or somebody else you're working with, they're carrying your part of, you know what? Pretty soon that's going to affect their view of you and their willingness to give you a promotion or give you more hours. Okay, they're probably already scheming in the back of their mind, how do we get rid of this guy? Okay, so it's not just the quantity of work, it's the quality of work. So, you know what, put the hours in, but put good hours here. In the long run, this sloppy, lazy approach to work is going to cost you income. You won't be offered overtime. You're not going to get the promotions that other people are offering. You're going to walk around talking about how unfair the world is. No, it's not. It's fair. Okay, hardworking people are rewarded. Lazy people are not rewarded. That's fair, okay? Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Okay, so now we're talking about, are you putting in the right quantity? And when you're putting in the quantity, are you putting the high quality in? Now we're going to talk about the value of your work. Preacher, I promise you, I'm putting in a lot of hours, and I go in and I work hard, and I'm still not having the income that I need. Okay, then we got to look at the value of your work. The marketplace will determine the value of your labor. You may be working a lot of hours, working hard and efficiently, but the type of skill set you possess is not in high demand or it does not command a high wage. Okay? And so what do I do about that, preacher? This is who I am. This is what I know to do. This is the only amount of money I'm going to make with this skill set. So what are you going to do? Well, at some point you might have to stop and say, wow, it's time to hit a reset because I need to increase my income, and you can increase your income by obtaining a higher level of education or through an apprenticeship program, some type of a trade skill that increases your hourly income from $15 or $16 or $18 an hour to $28 or $30 or $32 an hour, and all of a sudden your whole financial life is different. You've increased your value. Now, folks, think about this. Jesus was in the ministry for 3 years. But what did he do from age 12 to age 30? He was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. He learned a trade skill. This is our Savior, the Son of God, who came down to live to set an example for us. And folks, at age 12, in the Jewish custom, at age 12, you know what? That young man started going to work with daddy, or he was assigned to an uncle or somebody else that had a trade skill. And they taught him that trade skill so that he would always be able to provide for his family. And, you know, this is a little speculation, but, you know, some commentators think that Joseph died early in Jesus's upbringing. You notice once Jesus is in the ministry, Mary's mentioned often, Joseph is never mentioned. And some think that since Jesus was the oldest and he had brothers and sisters, Joseph may have died at a little bit younger age. Maybe he didn't go in the ministry till he was 30 years of age because he was the breadwinner of the house. And by the way, he was able to do that because from age 12 up, he trained to be a carpenter and learned a skill that would be that would allow him to earn a high enough wage to take care of mama. Now, I'm not trying to get rid of Brother Brian, but I was thinking about you this morning, your family, and I thought, if something happened, if something happened to him and you dropped dead with a heart attack tomorrow, Luke, and Jonathan have skill sets that if they needed to step up, could take care of the family and see that the rest of the kids were raised. Okay, so think about that. Okay, one of the ways we're failing the next generation, you know, I say to young men, get to work, but you know, we need to point them to opportunities. Okay, I talk about marrying money. Son, you want to get married one of these days? You got to earn some marrying money, and you're not going to get that if you don't have an education or you don't have a marketable skill set that's going to allow you to make the money where you're not always living under financial pressure. And Brother Jared, I hope I can do this. Do you care if I talk about what you're doing right now? And Brother Jared was working a job and, you know, he kind of hit the ceiling on what he's probably going to make. And it was a very physical job. You know what? You get in your 30s and 40s and you start figuring out, I'm not going to always going to be able to physically do what I'm doing. And him and his wife, you know what? They talked about it. He's taking a little bit of a break here. He's working very diligently, getting some college done so that he can get a degree so that he can then enter into a different field that's going to be more profitable for his family, take better care of his family. His wife, bless Sarah's heart, I hope I'm not telling too much of your business. She went to school. She's an RN. She told her husband, let me work more hours. I'll support while you're getting this. They're working together with a plan. And they're going to have to tighten their belt for a short amount of time, put in a lot of hours and get through all this study. But you know what? You're going to redefine your financial situation. And listen, he's not doing this at 18, 20, and 22. You know, folks, listen, if you need to hit a reset, hit a reset. Figure it out. Because there's a lot of places out there that are begging for certain skill sets. And if you can attain those skill sets, you're going to be able to make really good money. So think about that. Because you've got to get enough income in here that you're not constantly getting to the end of the month and I still have bills and I don't know how I'm going to pay them. And so put yourself in a little, I told you it was going to be kind of practical, okay? But if Jesus learned a trade skill and he became a carpenter, and he worked, and there's a good chance he took care of mama and the rest of the kids before he entered into the ministry. That's a pretty good example to all of us right there. And so I believe that every young man ought to learn a marketable trade, something at which he can make a decent living. Now, by the way, it may not be what you do, always do, but if you ever get into an in-between job situation and something else doesn't work out, you always got that to fall back on for the rest of your life, okay? So first of all, we're going to generate income through labor. Now, there's also a different type of income I'm going to talk about real quickly called passive income, all right? Sometimes I'll say, or semi-passive income. I'll get into a lot of the details on that. But how do we generate income? We do it through labor. That ought to be the primary way. Now, a lot of times people are figuring out, okay, how can I make some passive income? Now, what does that mean, preacher? That means while you're working and producing income, you create other avenues that are working for you that's also adding money into your box. Okay, so Proverbs 21:5, the Bible talks about this. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Now, I want you to stop. We read Bible verses and we just, okay, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. So the Bible's saying you need to start thinking differently. Okay? If you're a diligent man, you need to start thinking differently. Because you look at a situation. I remember taking our young men back when I was teaching in our school, and I loaded up our teen boys and I took them to outside of a store. And I said, I want you to look at that store right there. And I said, I want to teach you how to look at that store. Folks, when most Americans look at a store, you know what they think? Man, I want to go in there and see what I can buy. They have what I call a consumer mentality. Okay, that's all they ever think of. That's all they ever see when they see a store. Okay, and I'm talking about a store, but you can take this and apply it to so many different areas. But this is an easy illustration. Hey, I wonder if I got any money. I probably got something in there I could buy. Okay, somebody else might look at that store and say, I wonder if I can get a job there. Okay, that's a different mentality. I wonder what qualifications I have to have to get a job there. Another person might look at that store and think, you know what, I wonder what kind of education I have to get to or experience to manage that store. All right, you went from spending money to making money to making more money just by the way you're thinking, okay? Then somebody else will look at it and say, wonder what it would take to own that store. Own that store and hire other people and let their labors make me money. And then the next level, you know, somebody with building skills like a Chad Gord may look at it and say, I wonder what it would take to build that building and lease it to the guy who owns the store. You know what? I'm teaching you a different way. It seems like we've got this sloppy, slothful, lazy, greedy, covetous way of thinking in America. And successful people don't think the same way. And listen, you can be a born-again Christian and not lose this. And you need to lose this way of thinking. Your first thought about money shouldn't be like a little, you know, five-year-old kid that gets $5 from grandma and it's burning a hole in his pocket. And the first thing he sees at the store, he's going to grab and want and buy because he's just got to spend it. You know, if you can't get past that, you're going to be in financial trouble your whole life. You've got to look at things differently. I'll tell you a little story, okay? And it doesn't put me in a very good light. But aren't you glad that God puts people in your life that teaches you some things? I went off to Bible college, and you know what? I got a job, and I wasn't making enough to keep up on my school bill and everything else. And some of it, listen, was I wasn't managing what I did make very well. I'm being very transparent. I mean, at 18 years of age, I worked hard. I worked hard during high school. I made a lot of money during high school. I spent a lot of money during high school. And I just had a tendency of, you know what, at that age, you want the next thing, you want the next thing. Well, I mean, can you have too many guns? I don't think so. And I wanted to get this car, and then I wanted to do this to the car. And so I worked hard, and I made a lot of money, but I didn't handle that money very well. So I got very used to just having a bunch of money and spending it on what I want and not really managing it. And all of a sudden, you know, my mom and dad kicked me out of my house, and I go up to Bible college, and all of a sudden I got bills coming every single month that I got to pay, but I'm treating money the same way I was when I was a kid. By the way, those of you, I'm just helping you. Parents, listen, as your kids are starting to make money as a teenager, you put them on a budget. Teach them how to budget their money. Teach them to save money. Teach them what to spend. Teach them to give generously to God. Teach them all those basic things, because you're setting them up to avoid a lot of heartache in life later on. And so that's just kind of the way I was. And so, you know what? I showed up to class one day, and the teacher called me up to the front and said, you know, you're this far behind on your school bill, so you're financially withdrawn until you can pay this much. So they literally, what? I mean, I can't go to class. No, you can't go to class until you pay this much. So I walked out in the hallway with this little slip thinking, you know, I'm an 18-year-old, able-bodied young man, and I've gotten so far behind on my bills, and I was making money, but I wouldn't handle it the right way. And so there was a buddy of mine that lived up there at the time. I wanted to go see it. I didn't have anything else to do. Can't go to class now, you know. So I got in the car, drove over, and saw him, and he was renting a place from a guy that was a pretty successful businessman. And so he happened to be there when I pulled in, and I'm out there talking to my friend. He comes up, pulling up, and he said, hey, he introduced himself. He said, who are you? And I told him who I was. He said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm enrolled in Bible college right now. And I told him that. By the way, he was a member of the church that oversaw the Bible college. He was a member of that church. And so he looked at his watch and he said, "So you're in college?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Aren't you supposed to be in class?" Right then, I wanted the conversation to end. I knew this wasn't going to be pleasant, you know. And so, but I was honest with him. I said, "You know, I got financial withdrawn this morning." And he said, I can't go to class until I pay a certain amount of money out. And he said, "So are you studying to be a pastor?" And he said, I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that God never lets you pastor a church." I'm like, He said, "What in the world? Is there something wrong with you, son? You got a physical handicap? Are you stupid?" Apparently I am. Apparently. And buddy, he spent the last 10 minutes just raking me over the coals. So y'all think I'm mean in the pulpit. You don't, I'm going to send you to this guy. He rearranged all of my thinking. And he finally looked at me and said, "Son, listen, sounds like," and he asked me some hard questions. You know what he figured out? This is a young man that's not afraid to work, and he's working, and he's making X amount of money. He don't have a clue what to do with it. Or if he does have a clue, he don't have the character to do it. So he just told me, he said, "You got to start looking at things differently." Now listen to what I'm going to say next. "You got to start looking at things differently." He said, "Between my, right where you're at, you drive back to college, between here and the college, you look at every single business as you drive by and you ask yourself a question, what do they need that I could provide? What do they need that I could provide?" He said, "If you will, between here and the college, you can stop and earn enough money to get yourself back into college." And he said, "You know what? Successful people's not always thinking about the next thing they want to buy." He said, "They're looking at opportunities all around them of how to make a diligent, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." Now think about, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And so I was hasty in life. I'm just driving by. If I ever do notice a store, it's selling food or something else I want, you know. And I got this like consumer spend mentality. So I got my car and I start driving and I went by this hotel. This is a small mom and pop type hotel. And I thought I'd just pulled in and looked. All the windows, exterior windows were filthy. And so I went into the office and I said, "Is the manager here?" "Yeah." And I said, "Hey, let me ask you something. If I washed all of your outside windows," I said, I'll go get the stuff, I'll do it right now. "If I washed all the outside windows," I said, "what would you pay me to do that?" And he said, "Well, what do you charge?" I said, "What would you pay me?" And he said, "Well, stop. I'll pay you X amount of dollars." I said, "All right. If I don't do a good job, you don't owe me anything." He said, "Okay." I said, "I'll be right back." And I went and got, you know, it didn't cost much to get the supplies to clean windows. And I washed all of his windows and he paid me money. I went on down the road, saw another business, needed their windows washed, went over there, asked the same question. Two stops, went to the college, went down to the business office, and paid my bill and was back in class. I want to say, by the way, that man's name was John. I want to say to John, thank you. I want to say to that successful man, thank you for being a little mean to me. Thank you for helping me to see things differently. You see, folks, I had the tendencies, not so much to slothfulness. The Bible warns against the sluggard and slothfulness. The Bible also identifies in the book of Proverbs the waster. And you can work really hard and even make pretty decent money, but if you don't handle it right, then you know what? You're going to be in want. Okay? And so I thank God somebody kind of stopped my world there. Okay? Is this a generation that can take rebuke anymore? You know why a lot of old men don't tell you what you're doing? It's because we have a generation, I'm afraid, that just can't take it. Okay? The guys that grumble and growl at you a little bit, and guys that tell you're stupid when you're stupid and you're lazy when you're lazy, are not being mean to you. They're the best friends you have. And there's not one able-bodied young man in here that has any reason in America, the United States of America, of not making more than enough money so that you don't, your income would be way surpassing your output if you're handling both the right way. So passive income, okay? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So this diligence, we're talking about, I'm working a full-time job and I'm getting income from that, but also there's other ways that I am having money put in there except just the one paycheck. So these verses refer to the thoughts and the soul of the diligent man. Thoughts are a product of the mind. I've taught you this. The soul is a trinity, mind, heart, will of man. Diligent man asks God to give him ideas of how to generate extra income in addition to the income he received through labor. So I found out real quick, I didn't quit my job to wash windows. I kept my job because that was a good basic source of reliable income, but I started looking around at other ways where I could make money. And listen, it required a little more work, but I was young. You can do it. If I can work a full-time job and a part-time job and go to college full-time when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, then you can put in more than 30 hours a week, bless your little heart. Okay, get your video games, take them out in the yard, get a sledgehammer, and crush them into a million pieces. And use that time to work. To work. So passive income, resources gained through fair employment. We've already talked about you being employed. But wait a minute, how about resources gained through fair employment? What does that mean? By hiring other people. You could start a business and have it grow to the place where it would be profitable for you to hire others to work for you. Right. There's several Christian ladies that had started cleaning businesses. And you know what? They got grown to the point where they start hiring other Christian ladies to work for them. And you know what? Next thing you know, you're not only making the money. And by the way, don't quit cleaning because you hired someone to clean. There might come a time you could do that, but you got to grow that thing. Okay, and the minute you start hiring people, by the way, talk to some people. That sounds, oh good, that I can pay them and I can also make money off of what they're doing. You talk to people that run businesses and hire people. Amen. It all sounds easy, but you're going to have to find the right kind of a person and you're going to have to pay them fairly. And so, you know, think about it, but there are people that have created businesses and generate extra income in addition to the income they receive through labor just because they now are having other people, by the way, who have a job now, who have a place of employment. That's a blessing. Yes, sir. But also, the work that they're doing is also gaining you extra income. So resources gained through fair employment of others, resources gained through financial investment. As you are putting money in here and then you're taking money out, hopefully folks, when you get all done at the end of the month, there's still some in there. And guess what? The next month you're going to put it in and you're going to have to take some out, and you're looking there and now that more that was in there is a little more than this in there. Now if you just keep it here, okay, it's not like rabbits, all right? It's not going to work that way, all right? So if you just, you know, stick it in a sock and put it in the drawer, but, you know, again, you have to do your homework and you talk to people that are somewhat expert in this area, not that tell you big stories about what they think you can do, but are actually doing it. And because there's good investments and there's poor investments, and I'm not here to give financial advice, but I am here to give you biblical advice, because your extra money, as you have an abundance, can make you money. And so the money you've already made, properly invested, is providing another source of money going into the box. Okay, resources gained through intellectual properties. Okay, if you're creative, you might either invent or create something that could create a stream of income. Okay, and so, you know, think about it. We make a salary at the church. In my spare time, in my off work time, I've written a number of books. By the way, people ask, when did you find time to write books? You ask my wife. Most of the books I've written, I've written between 1 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay? And it's because it's quiet. I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock when I'm writing a book, wake up at 1. Just wake up. Don't set an alarm. Just wake up.
Right.
And then go in, work 2 or 3 hours, go back to bed, sleep another 2 or 3 hours, go to work. Okay? But I put all that work into it. That 104 lessons that some of you have, okay, 104 lessons, the one volume, 104 lessons, I got 1,000 hours into that. That's 1,000 hours that you get to use for free. Okay. I put 1,000 hours into it. But you know what? I give it to the folks in our ministry to use, but we sell it. We've got Ultimate Goal Publications. I got a website, written 22 different books. Okay, every day that I'm at work here, people are calling in and ordering books that I've already written, and it's providing an alternate source of income for me and my wife. It's allowed us to be able to do some things. Don't look at me like I'm crooked, okay? I'm teaching you how to be successful, okay? All right? I mean, I'm glad to be your pastor, but you don't own me. I'm not your 24/7 slave. Get over it, okay? I want to say so many things I just said. Amen. You spend your life being jealous of successful people, you might just figure out how to be successful. Okay, generate a separate source of income. Ladies, listen to me. Proverbs 31. You might want to read it. That woman wasn't eating chocolate bonbons and watching soap operas in the afternoon. She strengthened her arms. She seed a field and buys it. You know, I call them stay-at-home entrepreneurs. I'm not for our ladies all entering the workforce. I think it was the worst thing that ever happened to America. But you know what? You can, and we'll talk about it tonight a little bit, not only can you make extra money to help put something in the box, if you're creative, if you have the diligent thoughts of the diligent, okay, leading to plenteousness, if you're not lazy. If you're not lazy, okay? But also, you read about what that Proverbs 31 lady did in the spending of that money. And you know what? You can, listen, the reason we made it all these years is because my wife was so careful and so budgeted and looked for bargains, and she's saved us tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands probably through our lifetime, just because how well she manages the money.
Amen.
You know, she doesn't have an out-of-control wanter, for one thing.
Right.
And you know what? I mean, she's the kind of woman, you give her $20, 3 weeks later, she's got 22, and I don't know how she does it. Give me $20, the next day I got 3, you know? That's why I need to give more to her, amen?
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Resources gained through fair employment of others. Resources gained through financial investments. Resource gained through intellectual properties, resources gained through buying and selling. And you know, folks, capitalism is a wonderful thing.
Yes, yes. Right.
The socialists in our government are going to destroy our country if we let them. And if somebody says they're a socialist, let me just say this, they're a communist. Okay, because the people that are open enough to say I'm a socialist is really a communist. And we don't want to live in a communist country. Why should we fight to protect capitalism in the United States of America? Because it gives opportunity for everybody. But resources gained through buying and selling. Okay? And you can do that a lot of different ways. You can open a brick and mortar store. That would be like not the first thing to do. There's a lot of things that come with opening a brick and mortar store. It really is. And you got to realize how much money you got to make just to do that. There's a lot of things you can do from home. There's a lot of things you can do from the pole barn. There's a lot of things you can do from the trunk of your car. You know, the floor store that Jeffrey owns right now, my brother David started that business. Long before he ever opened a store, he literally had carpet samples in the back of his van and drove around to houses and sold carpet without a brick and mortar store, and measured people's houses, ordered the carpet, have it delivered to his house. Him and Bob would would, you know, it's just wonderful when somebody decides it's okay to work from the ground up and build something. Okay, and don't be mad at the people that are successful here. You might want to go back to where they started.
Right.
I want this. Well, do you want this?
Good.
Okay, because you got to do this to get this. And so there's so many opportunities, folks. Technology and the online buying and selling has empowered some to create online stores, eliminating the cost of the brick and mortar store. Brick and mortar, by the way, it's fine, but there's a lot of overhead in that. Buying and selling generated by understanding and identifying supply and demand. This is capitalism at its best. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a matter of finding what people want, what people are looking for, where the supply is, where you can get it, and making sure that you are a middleman in between that. That's called capitalism, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at our income. Now, every Thursday, I'll finish with this, just take a few minutes. I told this in Sunday school, but Thursday's our day off when we're, I go like this because when we get it, it's our day off. But one of the things I do every Thursday is I sit down and I don't want to think about finances every day. There's too many more, but all the bills, all the mail, everything goes on the desk and every Thursday I sit down. And one of the first things I do is I list from Thursday to Thursday in that week's time the income that's come in to our family. And this is important. You know why? Because we talked about in Sunday school the tithe and the offering. We're supposed to give a weekly tithe based on that week's increase and what God has increased us. So I literally write that down, okay? It would be good if you wrote it down. Okay, I got paid this much from the church this week. This next Thursday, this is what I'll do. I'll write down what came through the church. By the way, gross amount,
yes,
and net, and I figure my tithe on the gross.
Amen.
You don't pay the government. How many bills are you going to pay before you decide you're going to, all your increase, okay? And then I told the folks this in Sunday school, but a guy sent me a card when I got back from the trip. There was some mail in the church the church mailbox, and they laid on my desk. One of them was a card. I helped a guy out just recently with a little project. He wanted to try to win his hunting buddies to the Lord. And so he had read my book on mountain lessons. It's got the gospel in the back. So he called me up and he told me he was going to do it. I said, I want to be a part of this. He said, well, thank you. And then I said, he said, would you sign every single book, a little note to them? I'm going to send them their names. And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I did that, sent it down to him, and he gave it to all his hunting buddies. And then, you know, all right, done deal. Got to be a blessing to somebody. That's cool. So I got a little thank you card, and I opened it up. And he sent me three $25 Cabela cards. I love it when people send Cabela cards. Because I tell my wife, look, I have to pay. Listen, it's the only place I can spend these on. I have to go to Cabela's now. But folks, you need to look at it for what it is. The Bible says we're supposed to tithe of all of our increase.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's part of my increase.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so, you know what? $75 that I didn't ask for, I didn't expect. God blessed me with. God used him to bless me with. It's part of my income. What am I going to do? Just all blow it. Hey, $7.50 of that's the tithe. Okay, just as much as anything else. You know, I got a call from when I left the conference there, since I preached three times there, when I was coming home, Brother Davis, William Davis texted me, said, Brother Ross, I didn't realize you were leaving a little early. I didn't give you your love gift. He said, Roger Young is here. You want me to give it to him? Well, I'm thinking hard right now. I'm like, should I risk that, you know? I said, yeah, I guess. You know, by the way, he's had it for a few days. I still haven't seen it, you know. I don't know what's going on. So a couple of you, when you see Brother Young, everybody, when you see Roger Young, say, don't you have something for Pastor? That's all you say. Don't you have something for Pastor? I think you got something for Pastor, you know. So, say, what is the love gift? I have no idea. Why did you leave without it? Because I don't go down there for a love gift. And if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But apparently they're sending me something. So next Thursday, by then, I hope to know what it is if I get it from Roger Young. So what are you doing? Paycheck, $75 Cabela's from brother, I won't say his name, and then extra love gift that's not normal income, and then you add it all up. Then you give a tithe and an offering from that. And then you realize, folks, listen. What I'm saying is if you'll do the right thing consistently, God will find ways to put in that box what's supposed to be in that box. And it doesn't mean there's not going to be some tight weeks. It's good for us to go through some tight weeks because you know what? If it was abundance all the time, we'd be like Israel and forget where it was coming from. It doesn't hurt for God to get us on our knees a little bit saying, okay, Lord, this bill's coming up and we weren't expecting this. And, you know, folks, the guy filled my propane tank while I was gone. Then he hung the bill on the door from Suburban. Propane, I'm going to give him a little advertisement here. Crooks. I pull it off. They filled my propane tank. It was like $740 to fill propane. Because that's our furnace front, the big one in the back. Not the one for my grill. I'm talking about my... 700 and what? So I wrote him a check. I put in the memo, crooks. I wrote on the bill, these rates are absolutely robbery. They're ridiculous. You need to look at this. I may pay my bills, but it don't mean I have to growl about it. By the way, if you feel like you're being charged too much, call them. You'd be surprised how many bills I've called on and they've reduced the bill. Right, Kara? You do that? All right, me and her, we got this figured out. I'll pay my bills, but I'm not going to overpay. I call sometimes and say, what in the world is this? This seems a little crazy. Let's go through it line by line. I want to itemize. What is going on here? Oh, we could probably do it for this. Okay, let's do it for that then.
Right,
sir. Listen, I don't mind paying my bills, but like I said, it's the Lord's and let's be good stewards of it, you know? So listen, what I'm saying is this. I got my normal source of income that I expect every week. I got some unexpected. I don't know if I get that from Brother Young. I got some more unexpected. And it all came from the Lord. And it all belongs to who? Me and Cheryl. No. It all belongs to Him. And if there is some unexpected things, I can take a look at it and say, okay, Lord, you know, come on, folks. End of May is not that far away. We want to put a roof on the metal building out here. We got the work day already on the church calendar. Wednesday nights, we take some offerings. We got to put a new roof on the garage down here. So I'm aware of the things that's coming up. And I tell the Lord, as extra abundant comes in, I want to put it in the right place. So you know what? We get a little extra. It's not just let's go party, let's go buy, let's eat out five times, let's take another trip. Now sometimes the Lord says, go do that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what? Brother Jeff, Miss Jenny, you took a little trip. Listen, I'm glad they did. They work hard.
Right.
They work hard in this ministry.
Right.
By the way, you didn't take the kids, right?
No, sir.
Boom. I don't look at that as a vacation. I look at that as an investment in each other and in their marriage.
Amen.
Val texted me this week and he said, me and Deborah's going to be out of town. Just want to let you know, preacher. And I said, you know what I did immediately? I said, man, I hope you have a great trip. And by the way, be safe. We'll pray for you. And they're getting away as a couple for a weekend. Hey, you're never going to hear the preacher fuss at that. Now, don't be gone 40 out of 52. Or I might start fussing at you a little bit. But, you know, God's not always going to say, give it to the building fund, give it to missions, give it to the church. He takes care of his stewards. And there's a wonderful thing when you just have this relationship with God and the Holy Spirit where, you know what, God a lot of times rewards you for being a good steward. And he will provide some extra sometimes. And I'm praying, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And he says, you know what? You haven't done something for your wife for a while. Why don't you take her here and do something like this? Or maybe one of the kids or grandkids have a need. And I'm aware. Listen, God understands that. Well, you know what's so great about this? Look up here and I'm done. There are some things that God says, these are non-negotiable. I want you to do this much with your money. But the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God is going to direct you past that. He's going to direct each of you individually. And you know what? Whatever God tells you to do with it, do with it. You're never going to hear preacher fuss at you and put you on a guilt trip. But just make sure you're going to the Lord. Because God is so good to us, and He spoils us in so many ways. And if you are a good, obedient steward, He does extra for you. And you know what? There's no sorrow in it. The blessings of the Lord, there's no sorrow in it. I hope this has been a help. We'll talk about getting some of that out of there tonight. Wait a minute. I was going to put in, let's see, my paycheck, my Cabela's card. Man, I wish Roger would tell me how much my love gift is. Let's see. It was a Baptist church, so I'm going to guess. We'll see how close I am. I'm going to guess that much. That all came from God. And anything that came through your hands this week, it came from the Lord. Do the right biblical things with it, and then go to the Lord and say, if there's an abundance, what do you want us to do? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Tonight's message is going to give this morning's, I think, a lot of clarification. As we talked about income, Lord, may we also, Lord, come back tonight and learn about a little bit about output and help us to do it properly in a way, that, Lord, that you can reward us in a way that is worthy of you opening the windows of heaven, in a way that, Lord, you can keep the promises to take care of our needs. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, for each and every family, Everybody's situation is a little different. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you will help couples to go home and not use this as a source of argument or irritation or accusation. That doesn't help anything. But, Lord, that they'd sit down and think this through. Lord, help the men as they lead their family in this and as they reevaluate their financial situation. And just, Lord, I think as a pastor, my heart's desire is to see every family in my church blessed by the Lord. And Lord, I understand when you talk about riches in Proverbs, you're not always just talking about money. There's so many ways to be rich that the world doesn't even understand. So thank you for all that you provide for us. We pray in Jesus' name.